Good morning. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, a time when Christians prepare to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We continue our preparation as we think about joy.
As we light the third candle on our Advent wreath, we remember the promises of joy recorded by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 35. The wilderness and dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing.
Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing.
Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. The birth of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise of joy. Think about this joy as you prepare for Christmas.
One of the great traditions of the church is to invite children to share the Christmas story in a way that only they can do. Perhaps some of you, as me, at some point a long time ago, were in a children's Christmas pageant. I was a shepherd. And so, in COVID, we wondered how to do this, but it didn't take long until the joy of the Christmas story and the miracle and magic, some ways, of technology merged together to bring our many families at Trinity to say, yes, we want to participate. And so, be blessed now as our children and their families present the story. We say thank you to everyone who was a part of this, and it was a great team effort. And so thank you to all participants and all who labored to bring this very special video together. And a reminder that it will be archived on our website so that you might want to then let others know after today that they want to take a look at this beautiful rendition, The Grumpy Shepherd.
For this year's Christmas pageant, we are reading the story of the Grumpy Shepherd by Patty Devon. Each video scene has been created by families to help tell the story. The Grumpy Shepherd takes the scripture given to us from the Bible in the book of Luke and brings it to life. Who knows? One of the shepherds over 2,000 years ago may very well have been a grumpy shepherd.
Thank you. who lived in a little house at the bottom of the hills, just the town of Bethlehem many, many years ago. John lived alone and was often grumpy. He moaned and grumbled and walked about talking to himself as he looked after the sheep. He complained about this and that. In fact, he complained about anything at all. One evening, it was nearly time for John to go to work.
Bet if I am. Same old thing every night. Boring, boring, boring. And it's cold, too. Those silly sheep. Why can't they look after themselves anyway?
John grumbled on and on, even though there was no one there to hear him.
Up in the hills, the other shepherds were already busy with the sheep. They were lighting up a fire to warm themselves and to keep any wild animals away. Obed nudged Josiah as he noticed Joram plodding his way up the hill towards them, mumbling to himself.
I see Joram is full of the joys of spring as usual. Ha ha!
It was a night just like any other night. The air was still and peaceful. A few stars twinkled in the dark sky above. The shepherds were busy. They watched their flocks of sheep to stop them from straying, and they kept their fire burning brightly. They talked and laughed amongst themselves and told stories to pass the time.
After an hour or so, grumpy old Joram decided to take a nap. He couldn't be bothered with all the chit-chat. Joram snoozed peacefully, wrapped up in his own little dream world. But suddenly, something woke him.
Dozily, he scrambled to his feet, only half awake. A bright light was dazzling his eyes. He shut them tight, rubbed them as if to rub away the light, and opened them again. The light was still there, shining down all around the hillside, shining into the eyes of all the shepherds.
What was happening?
Then, very slowly, out from the light stepped an angel, a real angel.
Joram could hardly believe what he was seeing.
He could see the frightened faces of the other shepherds who had fallen on their knees in the grass.
Joram was not feeling too brave himself. Quickly, he crouched on the ground, hiding his face behind the cloak. Too scared to come out.
Don't be afraid, shepherds. I won't hurt you.
It was the angel.
My name is Gabriel, and God has sent me to you.
Joram peeked around his cloak just a little. Obed and Josiah stood up.
Tonight in your town, a baby has been born. His name is Jesus.
Big deal. Another yowling baby to keep us all awake.
This is a very special baby. He is the one all of God's people have been waiting for. This baby is your king, your savior, Christ the Lord.
Obed stepped back in amazement at this wonderful news and sat down with a bump on his sheep.
Just imagine, God had sent his own angel to speak to them. Wow!
The sheep wasn't too interested in this wonderful news. He just felt squashed. As for Joram, he still couldn't see what all the fuss was about, but he didn't get a chance to ask.
Go and tell everyone this great news. You will find a baby in the stable. He will be lying in strips of cloth and a manger.
Gabriel left. The shepherds then and rose higher and higher in the sky, where he was joined by many, many angels. Suddenly, they started singing, and the night was filled with their song.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
most amazing and joyful night of all nights. We must go quickly to find our Savior. Come on, Joram, let's go.
The shepherds left their flocks and hurried down the hill towards Bethlehem.
They got mad, quite mad. Running into town in this time of night? What about their sheep? Oh, for goodness sake, I'm coming.
Hallelujah, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
Joram finally caught up with the others at the edge of town, puffing and panting and hardly able to catch his breath.
Come on, Joram, this is no time to dilly-dally. We're going to see our king. Dilly-dally, dilly-dally. I just sprinted across 3 fields, jumped 2 streams, and climbed 4 fences. I'm beat. Anyway, Josiah, have a bit of common sense. What sort of king sleeps in a manger? That's crazy. A manger's a wooden box that holds hay, not babies. And certainly not kings. I'll believe it when I see it. Come on, my grumpy friend. You can't put this off. After all, this is what the angel told us.
These silent stars go by.
stable was not hard to find because the brightest star the shepherds had ever seen lit up the sky just above it. As they made for the door, even Joram could feel his heart thumping. It was Josiah who finally pushed the door open. It creaked loudly. A man and woman resting on the straw looked up and smiled warmly, inviting the shepherds inside. They all shuffled into the stable, past a donkey, a cow, and two snuffling goats, who were very interested in Joram's sandals.
Yes, I think so. An angel came to us tonight while we were looking after our sheep on the hillside. Gabriel, the angel that is, well, he told us the king had been born in Bethlehem, in a stable. Well, we thought he might be here in this stable. Many of us who love God have been waiting for him for years and years.
Joseph and Mary smiled at one another. Quietly, Joseph led the men to where baby Jesus lay. As the shepherds saw the face of the baby lying in the manger, they fell on their knees in worship. The tiny face of the child looked at them, and at once they felt a warm glow of love and peace. Even Joram's face softened as he wiped away a small tear with his sleeve.
My Lord, my King, you are here. How could I have doubted it? I look at you and I don't feel lonely or sad any longer. You have taken that away. I have hope and love in my heart, and you have put it there. Forgive me for being such a grumpy old fool.
Joram cried as he bowed his head and knelt beside the baby in his straw-lined bed. Josiah put his arm around him, but he knew that Joram's tears were tears of joy and not of sadness.
Smiled at one another as they left the stable. They hurried back through the sleeping town and up the hill to their sheep, singing loudly in praise to God for all they had heard and seen. Joram led the way, his head thrown back, singing to the stars. Even the sheep could hear him coming.
"Didn't know Joram could sing,"
said Josiah to Obed.
"Nor did the sheep,"
Obed grinned back. Christmas night was a very special night because it was the night of the birth of a very special baby, Jesus, who was God's gift of love to each one of us. Wow, God's gift of love. No wonder the shepherds were so happy, so joyous. The great thing is God's gift wasn't just meant for the shepherds a long time ago. The birth of Jesus is also our gift from God. Well then, we have just as much reason as Joram to sing. For those at home, how about we all sing Joy to the World? Sounds like a great idea to me.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Peace.
once again, we say a sincere thank you to all of our participants, particularly noting that the Strauff family participated from their new home in Germany. A reminder to our online worshipers, wherever you are, right now, you are a part of the Trinity Ministry. Once again, may the Christmas story through the eyes of children and families be a blessing to you this day. Now hear from Isaiah, who long ago had a prophecy. He wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning as for fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once a middle-aged couple found themselves cleaning out the apartment of their deceased aunt Eleanor, who died 2 weeks before. The couple was from out of state, and they knew that this task had fallen to them. And so on the first day of being in that apartment to clean it out, they found a calendar next to Aunt Eleanor's favorite chair. They picked it up and just casually looked through the recent days on her calendar. There, in the block given for each day, Aunt Eleanor had written, "No one came today." The block before it, "No one came today." The block before it, "No one came today." Every block for months. She is like millions of people living, as one writer said, on the outskirts of hope. And science has told us that hopelessness actually decreases our lifespan. We would wonder if Eleanor's life was shortened because of the dashed hopes that began each day, wondering if someone would come. And at the end of the day, her writing, "No one came today." Hope is the fuel that drives the human soul. When it comes to the human spirit, hope is everything. It is at the heart of how we live effectively and as Christians, faithfully. A psychologist has written this: "Any attempt to restore a person's inner strength has first to succeed in showing him hope for a future goal." During World War II, a submarine was damaged but not destroyed. Yet, it lost power and it slowly slipped down, down, down to the ocean's floor. Yet the crew was still alive. Quickly, a rescue team went and divers dove all the way down. And when they got to that sub, knowing the crew was inside, they knocked on the outside of the hull with a wrench. And from the inside, using Morse code, a response came. And the response asked, "Is there any hope?" That is a question that millions have asked throughout the ages. People have wondered that when disease strikes, when tragedy befalls, when dreams crash, when life ebbs, and you have perhaps at times pondered, is there any hope? 500 years before Jesus was born, God gave a message to Isaiah and told Isaiah to announce to the Jewish community and thus the world that there was hope. That God would send a child, and that this child would be the ultimate hope of all humankind, the eternal hope of the world. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And 500 years later, oh yes, seemingly long, but not in God's time, that hope was fulfilled in the Bethlehem miracle. Think about how it is true that when someone comes into your darkness, they bring hope. When someone enters into your darkness, they bring hope. Such as when in my life, many years ago, Bishop Devadar came into my office in the midst of family darkness. And not only spoke, but on his knees prayed with me, and he brought me hope by entering in to our darkness. Think about times when you have faced medical issues that have caused great fear, and you have wondered and waited, and perhaps there, even in the doctor's office, the doctor enters in and then says, "This is how we're going to take care of that." And by his entering in, your darkness, new hope. Or think about how surely you have had times when you have sat in the fear and failure of your own mess, and the phone rings, and a dear friend offers kindness and support, and they enter into your darkness, and by so doing, they bring hope. When someone enters into our darkness, hope arrives. And perhaps you can recall a time when someone entered into your darkness. And whether you would say it this way or not, something in your soul was strengthened and lifted, and hope was reborn again. That's how it works. And that's what happened when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. By God's eternal design, Jesus came to bring the ultimate hope into the world. William Barclay has described it this way. He said, "The Christian hope, which has seen everything and endured everything, still has not despaired because it believes in God and God's plan. The Christian hope is not hope in the human spirit, in human goodness, in human endurance, in human achievement. The Christian hope is in the power of God." And that is the hope that Christ brought into the world. And that is the hope that is available for you and for me right now and throughout the rest of our lives. So whether you're struggling with COVID or cancer, or despair or doubt, or fear or failure, or guilt or grief, or whatever it may be, claim the power of God to see you through. Claim the hope that came into the world 2,000 years ago and is available for us today, for Christ lives among us. and he will never, ever fail you. Let's pray. Lord God, our greatest thanks this day are our thanks to you for sending Jesus. Oh yes, Lord, we know, oh how we know, that so often and easily we take for granted this great gift. But it has transformed the world, and it has transformed portions of our lives and so many others. So we thank you for Jesus and the hope he brings even today to those of us worshiping right now, wherever the darkness may be. Help us, therefore, to claim that hope and to know that it always will see us through. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.